their problems, though those things give us insight to what these things mean. Abraham had two sons. He actually had more later, but these principal two are the ones we're dealing with, because after Sarah died, he took another wife, Keturah, and had a number of sons with her. But his heir was Isaac. The reason Hagar is important is because Ishmael was his firstborn. Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman, was firstborn, but the promise came first. And he likens it to the law. Okay. Here's what I liken it to. You know, people, Abraham, how am I going to put this? Okay, Abraham received the promise of God. We need to receive the promise of God as he did, by faith. God says, you must add your faith virtue. And, you know, says, oh, but I'm not a virtuous man, Lord. Well, Abraham fainted not at the promise of God. He did not say, God, I'm old. I can't have a child. I'd love to have a kid for you, and so your promise could be fulfilled. I just can't do it. She's too old. She's barren. Right? Now you think, well, how could anyone talk to God like that? Well, people do all the time when they say, I can't live without sin. It's impossible for man to walk in this earth, you know, to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Well, that's just impossible. See, they're staggering at the promises of God, because that's what the grace of God teaches us, that those things, the promise, is that Christ can be formed in me, which means I'm going to be just like Christ in my behavior. Okay, I'm going to be formed into the image of Christ. They stagger at that. I don't know about that, Paul. I don't know if I can be like Christ. I know you can't be like Christ, okay, that's for sure. Because you are just bad, Paul. But me, no, me neither. I don't know. I don't think anybody could do it. You know, I certainly don't know anybody. It's a question of knowing it, you know. Abraham didn't know any women who were as old as Sarah who'd conceived, or that were barren for so long and then were old and then later conceived, okay? But this is what happens. People, well, they believe the promise, right? And then a doubter comes along, the law. Says, just like these Galatians, says, well, if you really want the promise to be fulfilled, you need to do something about it. And maybe what you ought to do is have sex with my handmaid, meaning Hagar, right? Or maybe what you ought to do is start keeping the Sabbath. When you do that, you'll begin to please God and the promise will be fulfilled. What you need to do is be circumcised. See, the law comes along, or someone comes along who wants to bring back the bondage of the law. Because in Christianity today, we don't have Jews persecuting us, far from it, right? It is the persecution of false doctrine from within the church. Honestly, the mass of Christianity, or Christendom as they call it, in the history of it, is all persecuting us. From the councils of Nicaea, to the catechisms of the Catholic Church, to the Protestant Reformation, towards Pentecostal churches trying to, you know, and the things they do. I'm not as familiar with all that. But what I'm saying is everything from the TV guys, from the guys talking on the radio, it's all persecuting the truth. It's all coming against the truth and persecuting it. In bondage. Why? And I'll tell you, because if they're not preaching the same message I am, they're preaching a bondage message, whereby sin is going to have dominion over you so long as you shall live. And they're not going to teach you. You know, they'll preach a lot of things in the gospel, but then they'll take all the teeth out of it and deny the promises which God has made concerning those things, you know, that we could obtain. You know, oh, well, They'll read things like 1 John 3 where they say, you know, oh, well, he that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin. They'll read that and they'll say, well, but of course we know that no one can stop sinning. So this must refer to Christ, or, you know, of course it refers to Christ. It refers to Christ being formed in us. And say, well, this refers only to habit sins, you know, habitual sins. As if that was, you know, well, you know, nobody's in the habit of denying Christ, let's say. But let's say you, when push comes to shove, you do deny Christ. What then? It's not a habitual sin, so it doesn't count. But if it's the last sin you do before you die, that was the sin that God will count against you. If we are found in the midst of these sins, then God will judge us as the doers of them, as the workers of iniquity. I really think his explanation of the allegory is pretty simple. You know, Mount Sinai, the law, Jerusalem. I mean, I think it's, this part is not difficult to understand from his perspective. He quotes, it is written, that's from Isaiah 54, starting in verse 1. I was working on that song. And cast out the bondwoman and her son, as a quote from Genesis 21:16. We are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Meaning, ultimately, we're not looking to this legalism or to these sort of unfaithful acts, because that's also part of the allegory, is what was done with Hagar was sort of going backwards. It was not moving forward in faith, but going back, not just waiting for the promise of God, but for man trying to do something about it and make it happen. Okay? And I think Abraham, well, whatever. I'm not going to call in a judgment about Abraham and Sarah. Whatever the motivations were behind it, it doesn't matter. But the story is the story, and it's an allegory. And when you go off and try to do it your way, and we're going to take, God says, I obtained the promise by faith, but I'm going to obtain the promise by doing things my way, because I don't believe I can be without sin. So I'm going to go some other way to get the salvation which God has promised, instead of just letting that baby be born. I always say that, or I say that a lot recently, like, you know, Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. But ultimately, the promised child, Isaac, had to be born. And in us, who are like Abraham, of faith, when we believe God, you know what the child is that's got to be born in you? It's Jesus Christ. He's got to be born in you. He will be born in you. Formed, not a baby, but a full-grown man.